I want to speak to you this afternoon, something that the Lord put on my heart for you. And I believe today, whether we are a new church or one that's been around for a while, and I know that you've come from a church in Bellevue, you have another church in Seattle, prayer always, always makes a difference. And today I want to speak to you about the prayer of faith. And so if you have a Bible, if you could open it up to James chapter 5, and we are going to speak on the prayer of faith, James chapter 5. And I pray today that the Holy Spirit is going to give you a faith to pray to God, that you will know that God hears you. And as a Christian, the very essence of being a believer is that you're usually believing God for something. And prayer, in its very simplest forms, is to simply ask God. John 16:24, Jesus said, you're going to James, so don't go to John. I'll quote it for you. It says, until now you have asked me for nothing. Ask that your joy may be filled. Prayer, in its very simplest form, is asking God. And today, I believe the Lord is going to interject power into your prayer life, into my prayer life, and you will know that when you pray, that your prayers will absolutely make a difference. The Bible also says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, it says, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be open. Prayer does not have to be complicated. You don't have to know many words. You could even be a child and begin to pray, because prayer simply is asking God to involve himself in our lives. Now, the Bible says this, as you're in James chapter 5, the Bible states that we should pray without ceasing. I believe if God wants me to pray without ceasing, the Almighty God needs to answer without ceasing. The Bible also says pray about everything. I believe in praying about everything. From money, if people say, how did you get such a beautiful wife? I pray. You said, well, I didn't get a wife. Did you pray? The Bible says, who finds a good wife, you have favor from the Lord. And how do you get favor? By asking God to help you. Amen. Another one, the Bible says that constant prayer was offered up. This church will grow exponentially as constant prayer is offered up from this place. And the Bible also says everything should be done in prayer. If you're in James chapter 5, we're going to start with verse 13. And it says here, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Say that with me, pray.
Pray.
Say it again, pray.
Pray.
It says, if you're suffering, let him pray. If anyone's cheerful, let them sing psalms. Verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And let's read out loud if you can. It doesn't matter if you're using a Chinese Bible or an English Bible. State your version out loud because I want you to hear it as you read it. It's so powerful. It will give you faith that when you pray, not just Pastor Andy, but when you pray, not just Pastor Andy, but when you pray, tremendous power is available. Whether you're young, whether you're older, when you pray, God's power is released in your life. Amen. So let's read verse 15 out loud. It's the funnest thing you could do in church is reading the Bible out loud. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. Let's read this part out loud. It's marvelous. The effective, fervent prayers of righteous people avail much. So anytime you pray in your fervent, that you're going to have tremendous power made available to you. Praying is not a performance. If you want a performance, watch American Idol or The Apprentice. But if you want to come into a relationship with Almighty God, it begins by praying. And the first thing you've got to do is believe that God is a God who answers prayer. Prayer is not just spiritual exercise to build up your inner man, although your inner man will be built up. Prayer simply is coming and communicating with God, and that God himself will involve himself in your life. Let's read on. It says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain. We should pray that in Seattle some. Yeah. On the land for 3 years and 6 months. And it says, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Today, I want to talk to you about the prayer of faith. The Bible says, if anyone is sick, that they could come, and we could pray the prayer of faith, and the Lord will heal them. I think, Pastor Andy, I'm going to use this mic. There's a little bit of ringing, and I'm going to step in front of the pulpit. Can you still hear me? You probably can hear me without the mic. And so today, we are going to talk about the very prayer of faith. Now, I have two sons that are sitting up in the front here. When either one of my sons, I have three actually, but two of the three are up here. If they come, if Jake asks me, says, Dad, can you buy me a baseball? Daddy, can you get me a baseball? Dad, will you get me a baseball? He is not asking me for a baseball and saying, oh, Dad, I really don't want the baseball. I just wanted to ask you for the baseball just so I'll feel better about myself. He asked me for the baseball because he knows, number one, that I have the power to buy him the baseball because we have the money to go buy the baseball from the Sports Authority. Number two, he knows I have a heart for him and I have a will to buy him a baseball. There are many times he may come, especially my youngest, he will come and say, Daddy, give me $10. And I says, no, Jake, go ask your mom for $10. He says, no, Dad, she won't give me the $10. And I says, why are you asking me for the $10? He says, because you will give me the $10. You see, the reason we pray is because we believe God is going to answer us. And it says in James chapter 5, it's wonderful. It says, the fervent, effectual prayers of righteous people make tremendous power available. It says, the effective prayers. Now, I don't know how you say effective in Chinese and exactly what that means, but it means that that is prayer that works. So how can you know if your prayer is working? Does prayer only work if you pray loud? Does prayer only work if you do it in the morning? No, prayer can work anytime you engage your heart in the prayer. Effective prayer means you get answers to your prayer. Now, if you have prayed for 1 year and God has not answered one of your prayers, you're not just a little bit ineffectual, you are very ineffectual. And you need to begin to rethink, why haven't my prayers been answered? And I want you to say this after me this afternoon. Say, God can. God will. God has done it. Say, God can. God will. God has already done it. First of all, you've got to believe that God can answer prayer. And he wouldn't have told us to pray about everything if he didn't want us to pray about everything. And you've gotten to me too late. I prayed about my wife. I prayed about my kids. I prayed about my car. I prayed about my money. I prayed about my house when I didn't even have a house. Now I have a house. And you said, how did it happen? Everyone say, prayer works. Prayer works. Go with me to Mark chapter 9. And we're talking about the prayer of faith today. Because when you pray, prayer is not just a religious exercise, but a powerful force at work in you. When you and I pray, all of God's power is made available to you and I. One of the reasons we pray is because when we pray, God's power is made available to us. We're not just praying to feel better about ourselves. We are praying that God's power would be made available to us. Mark chapter 9. And I want you to look at this marvelous verse. They had a man who had a son who was suffering from demon affliction. And look at verse 21 and 22, Mark chapter 9. Say it with me again, God can.
God can.
Thank you. It says this, and often he had thrown him both into the fire and into the water. This is a demon that's throwing a young kid into the fire to destroy him. I want to stop right now. If you have a son or a daughter or a grandchild or a niece or a nephew, and the devil's trying to get them out of the church, away from God, away from the Bible, and he is tormenting their life, prayer will change that situation. And it says right here that this demon was trying to destroy this young boy. And it goes on and it says, but if you can do anything, well, throwing him into the fire and the water to destroy him. And this is what the father said. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us. And Jesus answered to him and said, if you can believe. The first step of the prayer of faith is you have to believe that God can do it. That God can answer your prayer. There's a woman in our church. She just started coming to our church probably a year ago. She is a Japanese woman. She is married to a Korean man. She is a Christian woman and she got sick. And she didn't pray about her sickness. Instead, she went to a Buddhist priest and asked the Buddhist priest to do some type of chant over her. And he did a Buddhist incantation of sort, and the sickness went away. And this is a very terminal sickness. And so she was healed. But right after she was healed, the very day she lost her mind and she went crazy, and a devil began to torment this woman where she couldn't even enjoy life anymore. And the enemy was destroying her, just like in the verse you just read in Mark. She came to church on a Wednesday night and I was speaking. And she came up and she said, can you do anything for me? I said, can you believe that God will break this demon power? And so we prayed right on the spot, and the woman instantly got delivered of the devil. And when I was praying, I don't pray quiet because I'm a loud person. Now, praying loud doesn't mean your prayers are effectual, because they have some people who do not pray loud. It's praying in faith that makes your prayers effectual. But I was praying on this woman, and frankly, she fell right to the ground. And when she got up, she was normal in her right mind. And I looked at her husband, and I noticed his eyes got about this big. And I thought, dear Lord, I wonder if he's a Christian. And so I asked him, I said, are you a Christian? He said, no, I am a Buddhist. I said, are you all right that I just prayed over your wife using the name of Jesus? He said, absolutely. As long as she becomes normal and in her right mind, I'm okay. I said, she is now free, but she will not stay free unless you accept Jesus Christ, because you're the head of your home. You will now accept Jesus. He said, all right, I will accept Jesus. And they're both Christians, and they both go to the church. God can do anything. Now, I pray about everything. I pray about everything. Now, Jake, for example, this is my youngest son. He plays baseball. And a few weeks ago, I went to one of his baseball games right here on the Sammamish Plateau. And he did all right. He didn't do great, but he didn't do bad. And so it was a Monday. That was on a Saturday. It's on a Monday, and I'm bringing him to the Bellevue Christian School. And we're going to the elementary school, and Faith, Jake was doing this with his shoulder. And I said, Jake, I said, what's wrong? He says, oh, my shoulder's bothering me. And I said, Jake, good news. The Bible says in James chapter 5, if anyone is sick, They could call for an elder or a pastor. They could anoint them with oil. They could pray the prayer of faith, and the Lord himself will heal you. The good news is, your dad's a pastor. I'm going to pray for you right now. And so I put my hand right on that shoulder, and I said, God, I can't heal anyone, but Lord, you're the one who said to pray, so I'm going to pray, and you're going to heal Jake's shoulder. And Father, I thank you, not only are you going to heal Jake's shoulder, because I don't know about you, I believe you can pray about anything. Yes, I believe you can pray about anything in your life. Ask God to come and help you. So I said, Lord, not only are you going to heal this shoulder, but you're going to let him hit his first home run. So, we went to Little League that day. It's in the afternoon, right at the Beaver Lake Parks, right here in Sammamish Plateau. And he went and he got up to bat. So the pitch came and he swung at it and he had a strike, one strike. He kind of looked at me, and you know how, have you ever seen a baseball game? And how they have a third base coach and he's doing this, he does this, he's giving signs. How many of you know there's something better than a third base coach? That's a praying dad. Come on. The only thing better than a praying dad is a praying mom. So I looked at his mom, I said, praying? She says, I'm praying. So Jay looked at me and I said, and you know what that means, don't you? It says, I am praying for you. And you'll never guess what? He got his bat up, and the pitch came, and he hit the ball. And the ball went over the pitcher's head. The ball went over the second baseman's head. The ball went all the way over the center field's head, and it went over the fence, and he hit a home run. And you know what he was doing? Hey, he trotted around the bases. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we pray about everything. Now, how many of you know right now, Jake knows God can help you hit a home run.
That's right.
And so you said, how do you, he knows, because that's the first level of praying in faith. Now, can I ask you a question? If God helped an 11-year-old boy hit a home run, how much more is God concerned about your son, your daughter, your neighbor, your grandmother, your aunt, someone you're working with, someone you live nearby? Don't you know when we pray that the Bread of Life Church on the Plateau campus is going to grow, it's going to multiply, we're going to have a lot of children, we're going to have a lot of youth, everybody's going to come, that prayer works, amen? Now, ladies and gentlemen, heaven is not boring. If you want to be bored, go to hell. Heaven is exciting. Heaven's filled with energy. Heaven is filled with energy. And when you begin to pray, you get all the power of heaven coming in and through you into the situation that you're praying for. Prayer works. God can do anything. Let me tell you a situation. My wife here, who's beautiful, and I bought her the dress she's wearing. You said, why is she prayed? And I said, okay. When she was 6 years old, Faith, you may not know this, when Becky Jude's mom was 6 years old, she began to stutter. And she could not even say her name, hardly. In fact, by the time my wife got to be Faith's age, she was a severe stutterer. And stuttering is a disfluency where your speech is affected. And they had mild stutterers, they had moderate stutterers, and then they had severe stutterers. And young people, a severe stutterer is someone who is stuttering a majority of their communication time. She was tested when we were first married, and she stuttered 86% of the time. And I'll never forget, right after we were married, the Lord gave me a verse, Isaiah 32:4, and it says, I, God, will touch the stammering tongue, and they will speak fluently and clearly. And you said, did you pray about it? Yes. You said, why? Because I believe God can. The first level of the prayer of faith is that God can't do it. Now, sweetheart, stand up for a minute. Take the mic. They don't believe me. Tell them what the Lord did in your speech.
Well, we had prayed for years about it, and God, about 10 years ago, I think it was 10 years ago now, God really touched my life, and always knew He would. And we never gave up. So many times people pray and they go, well, if the Lord wills, you know, He'll do this. If the Lord wills, He'll do it. No, God wants to. We just need to believe Him. And sometimes it's a process, and we need to trust Him in the process. And when you come out the other side, then you're going to be blessed. And I'm so thankful that He is a God who does answer prayer. And He answered my prayer. And I'm so thankful for that.
So everyone say, God can.
God can.
But I want you to go now, go to Mark chapter 1. Becky, you went right into the next point. We're talking about the prayer of faith. The Bible says, if you're suffering, pray. If you're cheerful, sing a song. If you're sick, call for someone who can pray. Because sometimes when you're sick, whether in your mind, your body, or your spirit, you have a hard time praying. Get someone who can anoint you and pray the prayer of faith. If you are going to pray, pray in faith. No use taking up space if you're not praying in faith. And the first level of the prayer of faith is simply believing that God can. And that represents God's power. That when you pray, all of heaven's resources are available. Right now in the Seattle area, in the Pacific Rim of the Great Northwest, there are many, many Chinese people living in this area. There are many young people that have come to this area, maybe with their parents or grandparents, and they have not heard of the great name of Jesus Christ. And I believe as we begin to pray, they can have an awakening amongst not only Chinese, but how many of you know African, Asian, Hispanic? There's got to be a revival with young people in Seattle. And as we pray, God can turn anyone's heart around. Can you say amen? Then I want you to look at Mark chapter 1. Look at verses 40 and 41. It says, now a leper came to him. This is Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, asking him. This is a form of prayer. Kneeling down to him, saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. The leper answered in verse 41, and Jesus said to him, to this leper, with compassion, Jesus was moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing. I am willing. Say this with me. God can. God will. Say it again. God can. God will. When you pray, you're joining forces with God. When you and I pray, I'm not trying to manipulate God. It's not a poker game. I'm not trying to twist the arm of the Almighty. I'm trying to get God to put a yes in my no. When you begin to pray, you're joining forces with Almighty God, and it works. I will never forget going to a hospital years ago. They had a man who was in a coma. He had had a stroke and a massive heart attack. His name, Bob Martinez. He was 96% brain dead. He was on the life support machine, and they were getting ready to pull the machine. And they said, he will never live. So I went into the ICU, the intensive care unit of this hospital. And I don't know if you've ever been into a hospital, but it smelled like death. And I had no faith. Because when a person's body is getting ready to die, you could smell it. And his coloring was off. So I went into the room that day, and you know what I said to the Lord? I said, Lord, if you're gonna heal him, did you get that? Lord, if you're gonna heal him, let his eyes twitch. Let his finger move. Let his toes move. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, you wicked and adulterous generation, always seeking a sign. And right there, I didn't yell and I didn't scream. I literally just said, Lord, I believe. I believe. I didn't say 50 words. I didn't quote 30 scriptures. I didn't read the book of Leviticus. I said, I believe. Lord, I believe. And right when I said, I believe, I knew that man was going to get up. I knew he would be healed. His name was Bob Martinez. I said, Bob Martinez, they say you're dead. Your body's dead. You're 96% brain dead, but your spirit's not dead. Now you listen to me. This is Jude. Pastor Jude, you're going to wake up, you're going to be alive, and you're going to get out of this coma. I believed it so much. Now I can't sing like Faith, but I started singing right in that hospital room. Because sometimes when faith is prayed in the human heart, before you ever see the evidence, you know you have the answer, you will start singing and worshiping before Almighty God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, a week passed, and for sure they were plugging the machine. He had been in the coma for over 2 weeks. When he woke up, they couldn't believe it. They thought at first he was saying juice, juice. And they realized he wasn't saying juice. He was saying Jude, Jude, Jude. He had heard me praying.
Yeah.
And you know what the Lord said is that, and I got a phone call from the hospital, get over here. Bob Martinez has woken up out of the coma and he's calling you by name.
Yeah.
And so guess what? I'm driving to the hospital and the Lord spoke to my heart. And he says, and these signs will follow them that believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they are going to recover.
Yes.
We know God can do anything, but a lot of us, we don't think he will. I don't know if God will. I know he can, but I don't know if he will. No, it is God's will to heal, to save,
yes,
to deliver, to anoint. Come on.
Yes. Oh, yes.
It is God's will. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, Jake, just stand up. Let him see your good-looking face. This is Jake. He's my youngest. Is this boy not good-looking? Look at it. Now, sit down. He's a baseball fanatic. He loves baseball. And he is a young man who likes the New York Yankees. He just went to the New York Yankee game last Tuesday. And you'll never guess what he did. He wore the New York Yankees shirt with the New York Yankees hat.
Oh.
And he went right up to the press box. And they had a security guard and said, son, you can't be up here. He says, no, I want to talk to Dave Valley. Dave Valley is the voice of the Mariners. He's on television and radio. And Jake goes to school with his daughter. And the man says, you can't go in there. And Jake goes, well, I know him. He knows me. And the guy says, well, I'm sure you do, but you can't go in there. So Jake got a piece of paper and wrote Dave Valley a note and handed it to the usher and said, can you go bring this to Dave Valley? So the usher looked at the note, kind of did that, went in, Dave Valley looked at it, during a break, came out of the door, got Jake and his friend, and they got to sit in the press box and eat all the food. Yeah, don't you know what prayer is like? It's like going to the press box. And you're just going in, and what the devil's saying, you can't get in there. You don't know God. You're just a human. The Lord knows what you did last week. You haven't been that good of a Christian. You know what you do? You just write God a note. And the best thing to put in the note is put his word. And say, yes, Lord, I know you. I am a Christian. Then all of a sudden, someone's going to walk out the door and say, come on in. I want to answer your prayer. And by the way, I'll buy you a hot dog. Everyone say, God will.
God will.
Say, God will.
God will.
Not only can God do it, God will do it. He said, the man said, hey, can you help my son? I really believe this. If you have a relative that needs Jesus to touch them, in the next 3 months, mark it, we are going to pray today. Your relative is going to have a revival. God can break into that son, that daughter, that aunt, that father, that mother, that uncle. He can do it. My wife's sisters, one of them just got born again, what, about 6 months ago? We've been praying for years, but guess what? She just got born again. The one that just became a Christian went to another one's house who's not a Christian, began to talk about Jesus, and that one's now a Christian. So now, out of her brothers, there's 6 kids in the family. She's born again. Earl's born again. The 2 girls are born again. We only got 2 to go. So we woke up this morning, and I thought, man, I'm excited. so excited to pray. Dwayne is going to be saved. Jerry's going to be saved. And we prayed this morning. Guess what? Christians are going to show up in their life starting today. It works. You can't lose with the stuff I use. Amen. So I want you to say this with me. Say, God can.
God can.
Say it again. God can.
God can.
The man said, Lord, it's been happening since childhood. The demon's trying to destroy my son. Can you do anything? Everyone wants to know if God can. And Jesus answered and said, can you believe? Because all things are possible for them who believe. They had a leper saying, God, if you're willing, I know you can. You see, the second level of the prayer of faith, a lot of people think God can, but they do not think he's willing. And Jesus, not only did he say, I'm willing, he reached out his hand and he touched him. And he said, I am willing. It is the prayer of faith. This young man, Jay, as I told you, he is a New York Yankee fan. And about 4 or 5 years ago, during 911, you'll probably remember if you lived in Seattle, they had a big prayer rally at Safeco Field. I was in New York City going into Ground Zero, bringing some money and funds to help relieve the firemen who were working in Ground Zero. My cell phone rang, and Jake had called me what had happened. They were at this prayer gathering in Safeco Field, and he was so young. At the time, he was probably 7 years old, 6 years old, seven. He couldn't think about praying or 911. All he could think about was baseball. And he said, Mom, I want to go and sit in the dugout, because he is a Derek Jeter fan. Derek Jeter plays for the New York Yankees. He's number two. He's the shortstop. And so literally that year, he had asked me, he said, Dad, can you pray and ask the Lord to get us Yankee tickets? And you said, I cannot believe you prayed for Yankee tickets. Well, if God didn't want me to pray for Yankee tickets, why did he put in the Bible, pray about everything? Yankee tickets are just a thing, and I'm just trying to teach my kid faith. And so we got tickets on the seventh row right on the Yankee dugout. In the whole game, Jake's trying to get Derek Jeter's attention. Derek Jeter never looked at him. Well, back to the prayer rally at Safeco Field, he said, Mom, take me into the prayer dugout. And so they went into the dugout, and at first the usher said, kid, you can't come in here. So he went back, and his mom knows we're people of prayer. Prayer works. We pray the prayer of faith. She said, Lord, work it out for Jake to go sit in the dugout. Minutes after that, the ushers changed hands. There was a changing of the guards. A new usher came up, and he pointed at Jake, and he said, come here, do you want to come in the dugout? So they went in the dugout. He's sitting there thinking he's Derek Jeter of the New York Yankees. He's sitting in the dugout. The usher, Pastor Andy, he gets out one of those baseball cards. Are you familiar with the baseball card? And he said, son, he says, I don't have any from the Mariners, but I'll give you what I have. And you will never guess what team that baseball card was from. You got it, the New York Yankees. And it was a baseball card of Derek Jeter. He looked at my wife. You'd have thought he won the lottery. You would have thought it was a ticket for $30 million. You would have thought it was just literally something from the Ark of the Covenant. He said, Mom, put this in your purse for safekeeping. This is valuable. So she put that in her purse for safekeeping. They walked to the van. We have one of those minivans. You know, you could press the keychain and the door opens up automatically. You should have seen my kids when we first got this van. In the neighborhood, they go, in the name of Jesus, open. And they press a button. The kids go, ah. Well, they were walking to the van, and they pressed the button. Inside the van was a gunman. He had broken into our van to steal money. He was probably on drugs. And so when my wife saw it, she began to scream. My oldest son here, he ran off. He took off, running, left his mother right there with the gunman. I thought, dear Lord, Jesus, where did you learn that? He said, from you, Dad. He said, that was the smartest thing I could have did. I said, you left your mother by herself. But my middle son, he's a muscle man. He stood between my wife and the gunman. And he said, you leave my mom alone. You leave my mom alone. And the guy started cursing. And so eventually he just jumps out the van and he grabs my wife's purse. Well, we stopped the credit cards. He didn't get any money from the credit card or the debit card or the checking account. But inside that purse was a card from a 7-year-old little boy. And he calls me, I'm in New York City of all places, and he's crying. And he's saying, Dad, and this, listen to his words. He said, Dad, God stole my card. And I said, no, God doesn't steal. God's not a thief. The devil's a thief. The devil will steal. And I said, we will pray, and you will see what God will do. We began to pray, and I said, Lord, you gave him the card. I want you to do something good for him. Within a few weeks, a man came. He didn't know the story I just told you. He handed me 3 cards from the major leagues. It was 3 Derek Jeter cards and a wristband that Derek Jeter had worn. Within 1 year, he got over 70 different Derek Jeter cards and other items. We were in Miami speaking to 1,000 Hispanic youth at a big youth conference. And we were in this big, big mall, the Sawgrass Mall. And they had these kiosks that had all these sports paraphernalia. He came up and goes, oh, Dad, he goes, this is what I want. I can't live without this. He said, Dad, you can combine my birthday, Christmas, St. Patrick's Day, 4th of July. He said, Easter, all the holidays in one. I just want this card. And it was a Derek Jeter rookie card. And I looked at the back and it cost over $250. And I said, Jake, you better go ask your mom. And he said, Dad, you know she's going to say no. I'm asking you. You say yes. And so he went to his mother. His mom says, well, let's see. And Becky turned that card over. And she said, boy, I'm not your source. You better ask the Lord for some money. And she said, let's pray about it. Well, we went to the conference the next day. We didn't tell anybody. And someone walked up to us and said, Pastor Jude, I heard that your son lost a Derek Jeter card, and for over 6 months, I've been praying about giving him this card. I want to give him a card. He handed Jake a card. It was the exact rookie card that he had seen in the mall the day before. Prayer works. Can you say amen? Everyone say, God can. Say, God will. Well, you know, after all those answers to prayer, you know what he did, Faith? He came up to me and said, Dad, I want you to pray something else. I said, what do you want me to pray? Because you see, can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, one of the reasons he's asking me to pray, number one, because he knows I do pray. And the disciples did not ask Jesus how to start a church. They didn't ask Jesus how to do miracles. They didn't ask Jesus how to have a crusade. They asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, meaning that we can learn how to pray. And so one of the greatest things I want to give my kids, more than a financial inheritance, I want to give them a spiritual inheritance, that we are people who pray. We engage God in our everyday life. And in America today, it does not matter if the government in America or any other land begins to vote God out, whether it's Russia, China, or Taiwan, or America. It does not matter if they vote God out of the classrooms, if they take the Bible off the courtroom walls. We will be a people that prays. God is not just going to be a God on the weekends, on a Sunday afternoon with a few people. God is going to be at the center of our lives. We will bring God into our businesses. We will bring God into our homes. We will bring God into our schools. We're going to bring God to QFC, Safeway, and Albertson. And we do not need a president, a senator, or a congressman to tell us if we can pray, because we have a Bible that says that we can pray. And when we pray, it is more powerful than any army or any force on this earth. And my friend, I am telling you right now, the world is yet to see people who know how to pray. Now, I don't know who are you going to live with next to in heaven, but I already know I'm going to be right by Jesus and one other person. My wife, of course, but Jesus, and after my family, my favorite author is a Chinese man. And his name is Watchman Nee. And I'm telling you right now, I totally believe that the revival that is happening in the underground church of China is probably a result of the prayers and tears of one man. We are not just praying about baseball cards and cars and money. We are praying about the revival and salvation of all humanity across this planet. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And I believe God wants to do it. I believe God wants to revive China. You know what I heard? We've been praying that the bamboo wall will come down and that the gospel will be able to penetrate China. Well, I've got the latest reports saying that the Christians in the underground church of China, and yes, they have many that are face age, and they're vibrant, they're excited, they're not ashamed, they have the Bible. They're praying that the bamboo wall will come down, not for us to get to them, but they can get to us, and they will show the world that there is a God that is alive, He's well, and He's active in the lives of praying people.
Yes.
Our God is not dead. Our God is alive, and He is not a God of the Americans or the Asians or just the Africans. He is a God of anyone who will believe Him. God is a God who answers prayer.
Yes.
I believe He can, I believe He will, and I believe He's already done it. So check this out. Jake comes to me, and he says, Dad, you've prayed. And he says, now I want you to pray and ask the Lord that I get to meet Derek Jeter. And I said, Jake, what? And so he handed me a letter. He had written Jeter, the sports star, a letter. It said, Dear Derek Jeter, my name is Jake Fuqua. You are my mentor. He misspelled the word mentor. He said, I play shortstop just like you. And he enclosed a picture of him. You know how little boys take their picture in Little League with the glove out like this? He had a picture that he had enclosed in the letter with his baseball picture. He said, T.S., he said, I pray for you every day. God bless Jake Fuqua. And if you do need a call, he left his phone number. So we prayed, and he said, Dad, pray that I get to meet Derek Jeter. You see, the Bible says pray without ceasing. The Bible says constant prayer was offered up. Do you know one of the greatest things you could do as a community of people is that you could begin to pray for the people on this plateau in the Puget Sound area, because your prayer works. Amen? And so that day I said, all right, give me the letter. So I put my hands on his letter and I said, God, let him meet Derek Jeter. Well, you will never guess what happened. About 2 weeks later, a woman who's not even a Christian called our house. Her niece went to the youth group that we were youth pastors over, and she said, I heard that you guys like to go to Mariners baseball games. And my wife said, sure, because if anyone says something free, she says, bring it on. And so she says, put them in the mail. She gave the woman our address. And you will never guess what happened. Usually when someone sends you tickets in the mail, Faith, they're not good. They're in the 300 club section where you can't see anything, and you get a headache from trying to see if anyone's playing baseball on the field. Well, the tickets came in the mail, and they were not on the 300 level. They were not on the 200 level. They were in the Diamond Club section. No, I don't know if you've ever been to a baseball game, but not all seats are created equal. In the Diamond Club section, they have cushions on your seat. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And then plus, you can get free food. In the Diamond Club section, they come with a little computer pad. Would you like cotton candy? They said, yes. Would you like peanuts? Yes. Would you like some ice cream? Yes. Would you like a hot dog? Yes. They were eating. They weren't even hungry. You said, why? It was free. That's why. And so you'll never guess who they're playing. The Mariners are playing the New York Yankees, and they're in the Diamond Club section. This gentleman came up to my wife and said, we voted you're the best looking woman in the stadium. You said,